This is Dial a Saint, introducing Saint Elizabeth Seton. Elizabeth Seton is the United States' first native-born saint. She was only 2 years old during our country's war for independence in 1776. Elizabeth was one of three girls born to Dr. Bailey, a young New York physician who was very much devoted to medicine and helping the poor. Their mother died when Elizabeth was only three. After a year, her youngest sister died and her father remarried. Even though she was so young, Elizabeth often thought of God and told her stepmother how she would like to be in heaven with her sister and mother. The new Bailey family soon grew to nine children, and the two oldest, Elizabeth and her sister, were sent to spend several years with their uncle. Elizabeth enjoyed this time the best. She learned how to play the piano and studied French. She also enjoyed dancing and horseback riding, and soon became quite involved in New York social life. People liked her because she had an attractive personality, was beautiful, well-educated, and fun to be with. But she also enjoyed walking alone to discover the wonders of God in nature. She found His hand in the flowers, trees, and even clouds. She read the Bible each day and could recite from memory much of the Psalms and the New Testament. When she was 20, she married William Seton, the son of a merchant who owned a fleet of ships which traded between America and Europe. For 3 years, their married life was perfect. They attended New York social events and were familiar with the families of George Washington, Alexander Hamilton, and Thomas Jefferson. Even though their family was to have five children, she still had time to help the poor. Once she even obtained special permission from the New York State Legislature to allow her woman's group to operate a lottery whose proceeds were given to those in need. William's father died suddenly and left the business to him, but it did not prosper because pirates plundered the ships, and even with Elizabeth's bookkeeping skills, the business declined until bankruptcy brought an end to the Seton family's wealth. When his health also began to fail, it was found that William had severe tuberculosis. Elizabeth's father had been named the first health officer for the Port of New York. One of his jobs was to prevent the spread of yellow fever, which was carried by the new immigrants who often arrived either sick or dying. One day, he forgot to ventilate a room of sick people. Within hours, he contracted the disease and died in 6 days. Elizabeth suffered greatly during all these trials and found help from her friends and strength in her faith in God. It was decided that William, Elizabeth, and their oldest child, Anna, would travel to Italy where the climate was more healthful and they could visit with some of his close friends. The day before they arrived in port, the officials decided to quarantine the entire family for fear of the yellow fever. For 30 days they were guarded in a cold, open-windowed stone house next to the ocean. It had only the bare stone floor and walls to protect them from the cold. Elizabeth and her daughter had to warm themselves by jumping rope and hopping around the room. William's sickness became still worse, even though his friends brought a bed, warm clothes, and food. When the family was finally released, William was so sick he died within 7 days. Elizabeth was just 29 years old. Her hosts opened their home to her and tried hard to please her during her 6 month stay with them in Italy. Her religion had always been Episcopalian, but she became impressed by how sincerely her friends practiced their Catholic faith and by the warmth of the Italian churches. She had always searched to be near to God and was pleased at the idea that Christ was really present at all times in the Sacred Host. Upon her return to America, she told her friends she would become a Catholic. After she received her first communion, she wrote, "At last, God is mine, and I am His." Now her soul was at peace, but she had to face alienation from her family, which was opposed to her new religion. They left her out of their social activities and cut her name from their wills. No one would even help with her daily tasks of caring for the five children. To raise money, Elizabeth was forced to teach small children in a day school and then spend her nights caring for the needs of her own family, often resewing their old clothes until early in the morning. Even in these hard times, her strong faith allowed her to say, "He who lives in my heart does not permit me to forget that what I sow today in tears, I most certainly will gather one day in joy." Elizabeth's faith allowed her to see herself as God's instrument. Her children were gifts from God, and she knew she was entirely responsible to Him for raising them. When one needed to be punished, she punished firmly, but at the same time used religion and reason as her guides. A priest who knew of her love for God and her desire to teach suggested that she open a free school to educate Catholic girls. This was a new idea, since at the time there were just 3 Catholic schools for young men in America: Georgetown in Washington, St. Mary's Seminary in Baltimore, and Mount St. Mary's in Emmitsburg. Elizabeth quickly agreed, and the Archbishop gave his approval for the new school to be opened in Baltimore. When news of this spread, several young women who wished to enter the religious life joined her. Elizabeth had also thought about becoming religious, but realized that her first responsibility was to care for her children. What her new school lacked was money. One day, a certain man came into church. Elizabeth, seeing him, prayed, "Lord, see this gentleman in front of me. If you wish, inspire him to contribute some money toward this work of charity, which must be founded so that many poor children can be taught to know and love you." That same afternoon, her priest friend told her that this very person had asked to make a contribution to help Elizabeth teach poor children, but on the condition that he purchase the land in Emmitsburg, Maryland, for both a school and a convent. Her prayers were answered, because now Elizabeth could have her children near her, help direct the religious growth of young women, and teach school. The women asked her to be their leader, and so they all made vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience to their bishop. Elizabeth became the Mother Superior of the first Native American religious community. They chose the name Sisters of Charity of St. Joseph with the purpose to teach and help the poor and orphaned. Within a few days, they were on their way to Emmitsburg. They soon found life harder than that of the city. When their supply of coffee ran out, the parish priest advised them to plant carrots. Their new drink that winter was called carrot coffee. The sisters' first home was made of stone, constructed with the help of the citizens of Emmitsburg. But it was soon outgrown, and a larger home called St. Joseph's was built to take care of the many girls who came to join the order, as well as the many students who came to school. The usual school day included lessons in reading, writing, spelling, grammar, geography, and arithmetic. Spiritual readings were studied, and the rosary was recited. Later, special subjects were added, such as music, needlework, and languages, which were taught privately. Mother Seton, as Elizabeth was now called, oversaw the administration of everything, her family, the formation of the sisters, and the school. She loved everyone, and they loved her in return. To her, education meant bringing the student closer to God, and she regularly observed the classes to ensure that instruction was directed toward that goal. After the day's work was over, she often wrote letters to her friends and relatives, giving loving, motherly advice about their problems. These letters provide us with an understanding of her deep faith. The demands she placed upon her life weakened her to the point where she developed tuberculosis. She had to be confined to bed, where she died in 1821 at the age of 47. When Elizabeth died, 50 sisters were in the order. By 1974, they had numbered 8,000, who today operate hospitals, nursing schools, colleges, grade and high schools, homes for the aged, schools for retarded children, and vocational schools. Through Elizabeth Seton, God established the first Catholic free school in America, the first Catholic orphanage, and the first Catholic hospital. Elizabeth Seton was declared to be a saint in heaven in 1975. Let those who wish to follow her example of loving God remember her words, "My Father and my God, while I live, let me praise you. While I have my being, let me serve and adore you."